Book of Revelation, the second chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hath borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let us pray. Father, again we come to you thanking you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the young man that was baptized. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in our hearts, and Lord, in all of the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for how you moved and accomplished those things that you wish to accomplish. And Father, once again, we need you tonight. We need your power, your wisdom. And Lord, we just ask that you work amongst us, work upon our hearts. My prayer is, Lord, that every heart here tonight will be receptive, that they will have a sweet and good spirit, willing to receive, Lord, what we have believed that you want preached tonight. And Lord, that we will honor you in everything that's done and said. Father, that we will bring glory to your name. That's our desire. And we pray, Father, you just work with our hearts and help us to be more like you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, Where is Your Love? Where is your love? We know that where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. That's what the Bible says. And we need to find out where our treasure is. We're going to look at some things tonight. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus, and we'll probably do this fairly quickly, but we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus bragged upon the church about. He commended them for. We're going to look at some things then that he had against them. And then we're going to try to look at what he says to do about that. And then we're going to look at some things that we can lose if we don't get back to the love of God in our life. He says we've left it, and there's a danger of losing a lot when we stay in that condition. So I trust tonight it'll be just a help to you, help to God's people, encourage you in the Lord, and help you to just walk more closely to him. We need that. Every day, every person in here, you know, you have your own battles. Every person in here has their battles. You have your difficulties. You have your hard times and difficult times. Every person does. And we need to realize Jesus is the answer for those. Amen. So what we're going to do is just kind of look for a little while. The Bible says in verse number 2 that Jesus said he knew their works. That simply means he had complete, full knowledge of their works. It's amazing to me, and I'm sure you understand this, but you know he knows you and me tonight. He knows exactly everything about us. I mean everything, nothing hid. He knows about Blessed Hope Baptist Church tonight. He knows about every other church upon the face of this earth tonight. Because he's God, he knows their works, as he said, and he knows all about ours. But there was some things that he bragged on, just take a few moments, but he approved of. He said their works, there were certain things they were doing. And one of those, he talked about their labor. He said in verse number 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. That simply, that labor means their toil or diligent labor. He knew that they was toiling. and he was diligently laboring, even to the point of exhaustion and weariness. They was busy about the things of God. It was, I would say, probably one of these beehive of activities, churches. I think they was busy, kind of sometimes on Sunday morning. I look around Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it's a beehive of activity. It's a lot of things going on in every department and of the church, and everywhere you look, there's people busy and doing things, and been busy since early morning a lot of times, doing things that need to be done. And it's and that's kind of the way it was here at Ephesus. One man said this. He said, "There's three different kinds of people in your church." I'm going to just give you this. Get a laugh out of it, if nothing else. He said, "There's the shirkers." He said, "They don't do anything, and they let everybody else do the work and the giving." That's the shirkers. He said, "Then there's the jerkers." He said, "They start out fine, give a jerk or two, and then run out of spiritual gas." And he said, "They become unreliable and don't do a whole lot after that." Then he said, "There's the workers." He said, "They're those that just keep on going on no matter what happens. They just keep on going on for God, and they just keep a working no matter what happens. They just keep on," you see. Ephesus was one of those kind of churches. They was a working church, and they just kept on working, and the Lord approved that. We find also in verse 3, as he says, "And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hath not fainted." He approved of their steadfastness. I mean, they were steadfast in the faith. They just kept on doing, even though there was hardships, there was suffering, there was losses at time. They just kept going on for God. They was steadfast. Didn't make any difference what happened. They just kept on doing it. Even when they was persecuted, and they was persecuted, they just kept on for God. And Jesus approved that. We find also back in verse number 2 again, they certainly were against evil. If you notice, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." He said they couldn't stand evil. They could not bear evil. That's a good trait, not to bear evil. We sometimes get so used to it around us, and so we let it become seem like a part of our life. Let me say, maybe not our life, but the life around us. We just don't get too serious about it. They couldn't bear evil. They couldn't stand the fact of all that was going on. And then, of course, we found in there also he approved of their spiritual discernment. He said, "You know the ones that are of God. You know the ones that are not of God." They had some spiritual discernment. We need spiritual discernment in our day. We need to understand, we need to know, we need to watch, we need to look out for and be very careful about those who would stand against the things of God and not be for the things of God. You see, in fact, they would rather fight the things of God than be for the things of God. They had spiritual discernment. They understood that. They watched for them. They kept an eye out. And then also, of course, in verse number 6, "But thou hast... but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Whenever there's something that Jesus hates, I think we ought to take note of it. I think we ought to be very careful. And the Nicolaitans, as best that I can understand, was a system that separated the clergy and the laity as far as importance to God. I think you find that in the Catholic Church. One of the greatest examples is the Catholic Church. There's the priest, there's the pope. These people know more than anybody else. They're more important than anybody else. And the pope supposedly is the one you're supposed to bow down and kiss his feet and his hands and all of these things. There's a separation between the laity and the clergy or the priest. Should never be. Let me say to you, God has given this pastor a positional place to be a pastor under shepherd of the church. But let me say to you, and you've heard this pastor say that many times, I'm no more important to God than you are. None whatsoever. God loves you as much as he ever loved me. And so there's not a hierarchy that's setting up here No, there's the position of the pastor that God has placed in every church. He places that person in that position, but it's not because they're more important to God. And in fact, they have a much higher responsibility because of that position unto our Lord. So that was something that he hated. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. That is who the mediator between God and man is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? And he's the only mediator. I'm not a mediator between you and God. I will pray for you. You will pray for me, I hope. We pray for each other. But I'm not a mediator. You go straight to God. You can come to this preacher and talk to him, and we'll want to point you to God. We'll point you to him who is the mediator, you see, and pray for you and trust that God will answer those prayers and do something good in your life. But it's still God. We never want to forget that. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is your mediator. Isn't it wonderful to know you can stop at any time, be anywhere you're at, and just talk to the creator of the universe? Whew. I mean, you just talk to him. Your creator, the one who loved you so much, he sent Jesus, his son, to die for you. You can just talk to him anytime you want to. I don't know about you, but that does something for me. That's thrilling. That's something very special. So he says he approves of these things. There were some things that Jesus approved of. But then you look in verse number 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Here we find that Jesus had something against them. They had left their first love. Their love had waxed cold. This is very serious business in the church today. It's very serious. We want to be very careful that our love for Christ does not wax cold. Oh, the furnace, the spiritual furnace, was still there, but it wasn't burning very brightly. It just got cold. Did you know that that also can happen in husbands' and wives' lives? No, they can go on. They can be faithful to each other. They can go on in life and just go on down, but they lose that burning glow and that burning love for one another that should carry over from that time when they first got married. I told Donna just a while ago, she was hunting me, I think, and trying to find out what sermon I was going to preach tonight. I said, honey, we'll just call it, Where's Your First Love? And she said, that's easy. Amen? That's easy. I'm saying to you, you know, that can happen in the marriage relationship. You got to work at that thing. You got to make it work. And you got to love each other with a love as you look back and remember the years that you've went through together and the time when you first got married and what God has done for you all those years. Well, you got to do the same thing with Jesus. You just got to do the same thing with him, because if we don't be careful, we'll lose that first love. We'll be kind of like Martha. We'll be so occupied with doing for Jesus, we'll forget to become like him. There's a big difference. Should we do for him? Oh, yes, we should do for him. Should we keep busy doing? Oh, yes. But we should never forget to learn to be like him and to love him and spend time with him. So what I'm going to do is take a few moments and share some things with you, and you can do the checking. You can do the examination. Have you or are you losing your first love? We'll go through these fairly quickly, but I want you to listen to them. I want you to check it out. Okay? Amen. Just check it out. You see, have you lost? Don't you think it's serious when we would leave the first love? That's serious business. Well, let me just check some things out for you. First of all, we're losing or have lost our first love when we desire someone or something more than Jesus Christ himself. Now, you check it out. What's first? Where is your desire for the Lord? He should be our first love. Has someone taken that place? Has something taken that place? Is something more important to you than Jesus Christ? Listen to what he says in Mark 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, folks, listen to me. You can pass that thing off. You can just let it go right over your head. Or you say, well, the preacher said that. But this is God Almighty saying it. This is God the Son saying this. And he said we should love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. That's what he says. So has something else taken the place of your love for Christ? That's a deep question. Check it out. Are you losing or have you left your first love? Okay? Let's look secondly. We've lost or are losing our first love when we lose that desire to have that special, precious time with God in his word or in prayer. We preached in Sunday school this morning. There's many aspects of prayer, many aspects of prayer. But we preached on the subject of the closet prayer. One of the most neglected things there are in the Christian lives. You know, when you go in the closet, God says you're coming into that closet. You're shutting the world out. You're shutting you in with him. And to have a fellowship with him and a talk with him and a relationship with him. I mean between you and him, the creator, your savior. And everything else is shut out. The closet prayer is so important. And let me ask you, do you desire that? Do you desire a time alone with God? You understand what I'm saying? These are right questions to ask. It's all right if you search your heart and ask yourself, is that true? Is that true in my life? It's okay. That's what God wants you to do and he wants me to do. You see, if Jesus is our first love, there'll be a desire and a longing to have fellowship with God in his word and in prayer. There'll be that longing if he's our first love, if we haven't left our first love. Thirdly, do you give in to things that you know displeases the Lord? Do you do things and give in to those things that you absolutely know, according to his word, displeases him? First love. Have we left it? Are we losing it? The Bible says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God says we're to keep his commandments. Now, have we given in to other things that we know absolutely displeasing? Habits of life, places maybe we go, the way we speak, the things we do that we know displease the Lord. You want to be careful. Maybe you're leaving or have already left your first love. Another check on this is will you and do you willingly and cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others? I mean cheerfully, hilariously, be glad to give to the work of God. Someone doesn't have to pump it out of you. It comes because you love God and you love his work. And you see the needs of others, and you're willing to give to it. Go with me over to 1 John, 3rd chapter, just a little ways back. I just want to read to you a verse of Scripture. Remember, you know, we do as Christians, and we get a little bit of a habit of, we hear these verses read, and we don't give them much credits. I don't mean that you don't believe they're true, but you just kind of throw them back over as though, do I really need that? And we just kind of pass by it. But these are all things that God is saying. It's the word of God. Look at verse number 17. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Whew. What a searching thing for God to say to us. Do we look and see the needs of others? He said, if we don't, how is the love of God dwelling in us? Because that's exactly what he did for us. He saw our need and fulfilled it all. Amen. So again, how do you handle those things? Are you willing to give? Willingly, cheerfully, hilariously give to the work of God and to those who have need? Do you have that kind of heart? If not, probably you've left your first love. Probably. Number five. Do you treat every Christian as you would the Lord? The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How do you treat Christians? How do you treat God's people? Because they don't do everything the way you think they should do, do you stand against them? Are you against them, period? Are you for them or against them? How do you feel about it? How do you treat them? Do you treat them as one of God's people whom Jesus died for? You say, I know, but Brother Ross, you're not either. And neither is this preacher. We're not everything we ought to be. Does that mean we ought not to love one another? Amen? You see, we've got to be careful because it's very easy to walk away from that first love. Amen? Another thing is this. What do you really strive for? What's your desire for life? Is some kind of fame or popularity or the world bragging on you more important than what God thinks about you? Well, and I want to tell you something. It's a hard thing for young people because they're growing up and they want their peers to love them and appreciate them and say nice things about them. And it's hard for them to make a stand for God a lot of times. But it's also for us adults also. We want the world to brag on us. But which is more important, Jesus Christ and what he thinks or this world? Amen. You see, the first love will cause us to care what Jesus thinks. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Word of God says that. I don't have to apologize for it. It's what the Word of God says. Have you become complacent with those sinful conditions that you find around you and sometimes in you? This world is a mess, a filthy mess. And sometimes we become so complacent, we don't want to do anything about it. We don't want to pray about it. We don't want to do anything but shake our heads and go on. And sometimes that world comes into our lives and becomes a part of our lives, and we let it. Well, I think if you don't be careful, you're leaving your first love. I believe we've left our first love when we're unwilling to forgive another who has hurt us or offended us. Jesus Christ forgave me for all sin. And I was unworthy. And so were you. But he forgave you and cleansed you and gave you eternal life. Now, what right does any of us have to hold grudges? Even if people offend us. Amen. Did he? Let's be like him. You see, there's a lot of things, and I'm going to probably stop on that part of it. But there's a lot of things that we could just check out on our life to see how they are that will tell us whether we've left our first love or not. I remember back when I first got saved. Do you? I remember the joy that flooded my soul. I can't give you all the description of everything that went on, but I was a very backward person, and I remember the night we was in a church service and revival meeting, and I walked forward from a pew somewhere around David, somewhere in there where he's sitting over there, and got down on my knees, and the preacher told me how to be saved, and I asked Christ to save me. And I'll be truthful, folks, when I got up, I didn't jump up and down, I didn't run around the church. All I said to the people was, I got saved. But there was a flooding in my soul that I cannot explain. It was something wonderful. And I had a desire to tell other people about it. Being the backward person I was, it was very hard for me to do that. It'd be hard for me to understand how to do that. It really was. But I want to tell you something. God helped me, and he taught me and showed me how to tell others about the love of Christ. I wasn't very good at it, but I saw quite a few people saved at Anaconda Aluminum Company simply because I was willing to witness for Christ. Well, what changed? What done that? It was Christ, and Christ alone. It wasn't this guy. It was Jesus and what he done in my heart. So what does he say? He says to us, what are we going to do? Here we are. We've left our first love. What does he want us to do? Look at verse number 5. I got to go back over the book of Revelation here. Verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The first thing he tells us to do is remember. What did you do just a minute ago, Brother Ross, when I was telling about when I first got saved? I was remembering. I was remembering how it was. Is it that way today? That's what he's saying. You remember when you first got saved? You remember the joy that flooded your soul? You remember what God done for you? You remember the decisions you made in your early Christian life that you was going to walk with God, you was going to serve him, and to some degree you didn't know all that that meant, but you was going to do it? God says, remember. Remember back from whence you come. You want to get that love back. Remember back from whence you come. And then he says, oh, a word that we don't even want to hear. Repent. Oh my goodness, Brother Ross, you mean I got to repent? That's what he said. Christians repenting? Yes. We Christians need to repent. Amen. Truly repent, that's what he says to us. You say, do they need to repent? You better believe it. Repent. And then, in fact, Vance Havner had said this. Vance Havner is one of them old-time preachers. I just love him. Love to read his books and things. He just preached. He didn't have any fear whatsoever. Tozer's a lot like that. But here's what he said. He said a revival in the church is remembering. The church remembering. We did that for a week here. Remembering. And then he says it's a church repenting. I don't know how much of that we've done. But that's the next move. You remember and you repent. And then he said it's also a church repeating. And what he's saying is simply this: go back and do your first works again. That's what he says in verse 5. Go back and do them again. You've gotten away from them. You've left that first love. Go back and do them again. Love me as you did when you first got saved. Amen. I want to tell you some things that we can lose if we keep going the direction of leaving our first love. First one is, of course, is you can lose your first love, as he said here in Revelation. Secondly, you can lose the joy of your salvation that God gave you. Here's what it says in Psalms 51:12. Restore, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, I know, I understand that. There is absolutely days, folks, when you just don't feel like being joyful. I mean, you just don't feel like it. But that oughtn't to be a way of life. There seem some people walk around like an old mule. You can lose the joy of your salvation. Not only that, you can lose your fellowship with God. In 1 John 1:7 said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us with all sin. Fellowship with God is broken when there's sin in our life. And everybody says, well, Brother Ross, that's adultery, that's sodomy, that's all these other, and they name them off. That's what he's talking about. I want to tell you, that's not usually what the Christian sins is. Christian sins is walking away from God and having an attitude of unthankfulness and ungratefulness for what God done in their life, and gossip and all kinds of things that we can name as the Christian sin, and God says it's sin and needs to be forgiven and cleansed. Amen. You can lose your fellowship with God. Only you know whether you have true fellowship with God. Only you know whether when you get into that closet of prayer, that prayer closet, whether you get alone with God and talk to God, and he talks with you and spends time one with. Only you can answer that. I can't answer for you. But you can lose your fellowship with God. You also can lose your fellowship with believers. Here's what he says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, what happens is when people lose that sweet love of God in their life, they want to walk away from the people of God. They don't want fellowship with God's people. Now, a lot of times they don't even want to come to church, but if they do come to church, they want to hang to themselves. They don't want to be around anybody. God don't want to be around God's people. They don't want assembling themselves together as God says, you see. You lose the fellowship of God's people. Sweet fellowship of God's people. Lose your fellowship with God, you lose your fellowship with other believers. We forget. If you lost your first love, and you can lose this, you can forget about the spiritual goals that you set many years ago. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I believe that you got to have a vision. You got to have some goals in your spiritual life. And you know what happens when we get away from God? We lose those. We have no future. We have no looking forward to what God's going to do for us. What vision we have about our future with God. And we also lose, or can lose, our power to serve God. Listen up real good. Here's what it said. In Judges, the 16th chapter, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out of as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Samson got up off the lap of Delilah, shook himself. I'm going to go out and fight those Philistines. But he didn't understand the power of God had left him. See, a lot of people don't understand that the power of God has left him. They get up and shake themselves every Sunday morning, and sometimes Sunday night, and sometimes Wednesday night. They shake themselves and they come to the house of God, not realizing the power of God is not in their life anymore. It's gone. They don't win souls. They don't go soul winning. They don't do this. They don't do that. They don't do anything for the work of God. They just don't do it. Why? The power of God. They have no power to do it. Just have none. They've lost it. You can lose it. You can lose God's power to serve God. They don't want to help in a Sunday school class. They don't want to teach a Sunday school class. They don't want to help in master's clubs. They don't want to help in the youth. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Why? Because they don't have any power to do it with. It's gone. They shake themselves, do their best to do those outward things so people won't think it's gone, but it's gone. It's gone. See, you can lose the power. Not only that, you can lose your influence on other people's lives. Listen to this real quickly. You see, Lot lost his influence upon his son-in-law's life. He went and told him, tried to tell him to get out of town with him. They mocked him, the Bible said. They mocked him and made fun of him. Let me tell you something. If your life don't shine, if your life don't have the power of God in it, you're going to lose your influence that you're going to have on other people for Christ. Yeah, you are. Say all you want. How much influence are you having? How's it going? What difference are you making in people's lives? For Christ, I'm talking about. Amen. Let me give you something else. You can lose your life. Listen to what the scripture says. John, 1 John 5th chapter. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Did you know there's a sin unto death? Did you know that? That we're unwilling to turn from it. We've got this about us that we've got so bitter inside of us and we just walk in bitterness all the time. Sin unto death. You can lose your life. Oh yeah, you can. Not only that, you can lose your future rewards. Listen, 1 Corinthians 13, 3rd chapter. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet as for by fire, the reward that you would get in the future that God would give you can be done away with because of leaving your first love and walking away from God. You can lose it. And you also can lose the favor of the blessings of God upon your life. Listen to this verse of scripture. Jeremiah 5. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. You say, sin doesn't matter. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah, it does matter. I don't know about you, but I do. I want the blessings of God on my life. I don't know what I'd do without them. I don't want to leave my first love. I want to leave it. If I leave it, I want to get back to it quickly. I'm just about done, but I want to just give you something else. What are we going to do about that? Brother Ross, what are you going to do about leaving your first love? What can I do about it? As I said a little earlier, most of the times you will find in a Christian who's born again, truly born again, and they begin to walk away from their true love, you usually find bitterness that has crept up. And that bitterness is in their life. There's things that happened that they did not like. Things that happened that they was not willing to deal with the way God would have them dealt with. So they get bitter. Let me just give you some things real quickly. First of all, forgive those who have offended you. Completely, fully, forgive them. You may not be able to control what they do. That's not what God is asking. Forgive them. Get your heart right with God. Love the Word of God. I mean, love it with a love that you want to read it, you want to study it, you want to hear it preached. Love the Word of God. It's the answer to your problems. It'll help you keep you on the right path. I might ask you, do you love the Word of God? I'm not asking anybody to answer that, but do you love the Word of God? Companions, who you run with, who you're around is going to make a difference in your spiritual life. Who do you spend time with? Do you spend time with the spiritual people or the carnal people? It's going to make all the difference in your Christian life. Be sure that you take those sinful habits that you might have or are tempted to have and shun them and get away from them and walk away from them. And let me say to you, confess your sin regularly. Probably every 5 minutes would be a good way. Probably. Whenever you have to, confess them to God and admit them. He knows all about them. He knows all about you and me. So confess them. And then make a resolve to live for God. Make a determination. I am going to live for God Almighty. That's what he said over in the book of Psalms. He said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Fix your heart on God. Get it back where it should be. Now this message can do probably a lot of different things. It can make you mad. It can make you glad. It can cause you to repent. It can cause you to go on for God and just live for him. Walk with him. Make the changes you need to make in your life, because you do need to make them. I do too. I've never got a place where come to a place where I've arrived and don't ever want to. I want to go on and be a little better for God than I've ever been. Now you walk away from that first love, there's some consequences to it. Believe me, there's consequences. It isn't good either. Amen. Get back to God. Maybe right here tonight, who knows? You may just believe God wants you to just come to an old altar prayer and just get alone with him and talk to him for a little bit about your spiritual condition. If you've followed along tonight, you've done some checking up. You probably have a pretty good idea where you are spiritually. Whether you will admit it or not is another thing. But you have a pretty good idea where you're at. What I'm saying to you, folks, if you're away from God, why don't you come on back to him? Why don't you just come in an older prayer? Say, God, I just need to get alone with you tonight. I need to talk to you about my condition. I don't want to leave my first love. Or maybe if you've already left it, why don't you get it back? Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your kindness and goodness and your love. I want to thank you for who you are, your willingness to always bring us back to you. And I just pray tonight that your will be done the way you want it to be accomplished, the way you want it done. Do a work in our hearts. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may stand. One final statement. The fire of God in your heart will melt the lead in your feet.